Hey, so welcome back to Awkwardish, where we talk about those awkward subjects that have to do with things like mental health, substance abuse, domestic violence, and pretty much everything else in between. And as usual, I'm Ruby, and I'm here with my co-host, Tony.
Hello, how you doing?
And today we're going to be talking about boundaries. What are boundaries? What are healthy boundaries? And why they're important for us. So, Tony, why don't you start off?
Well, there's some different types of boundaries, right? There's like, some are physical, some are mental, and some are emotional. And we can break it down further than that, but it's like, these are like the primary social boundaries that we have. Like, for example, like an emotional boundary would be like if a partner or anybody is like really taking up a lot of time telling about their issues and really just dumping on you and not really letting you express yourself, then that could be problematic because it's like it's a one-sided thing, and then it's like all this trauma dumping on you. It takes a toll, you know, because all you hear is about somebody's problem and there's not really a solution to them, except kind of it can bring you down. So it's like, that's what's important. You have a healthy boundary around that. Like, I can only do so much for you right now. I can only listen for a little bit, or just be like, I can't do this right now. I'm not in the mind state of being there for you in that way, just because I can't. You know, because it'll be draining on myself.
Or as as I've often heard, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess the simplest explanation of boundaries are like the lines we draw for ourselves in as far as our social situations and what behaviors we'll accept and our comfort levels around other people. And it's so funny because I know, especially for those of us who were born in the 80s and raised in the 90s, boundaries weren't really a thing. Kids especially weren't allowed to have boundaries. You did what you were told, and that was it. I don't think I had ever really heard a lot about boundaries until maybe 10 or so years ago. And at that point, I had been in therapy for a while. And when it was first brought up to me that I needed to set boundaries with people, that sounded like it was something impossible to do. Because it was something that I had never been taught to do. It was something that I had never been told was okay to do. Even when I had been told verbally it was something that was okay to do, I was shown by others' reactions to my attempting to set boundaries that it wasn't okay.
Well, not okay with them.
Well, yeah.
I hear you.
So, and I think that may be something that a lot of people from our generation have dealt with, because it's just not something that people really thought about, especially, you know, people didn't think about like kids' feelings or mental health or things like that. They would say things like, you know, what do you have to be depressed for? You're a kid, you don't have any bills.
Right.
So it can be difficult to shift from that into being a healthy, functioning adult when you haven't really been given the tools to. So one thing that I've noticed, since everyone seems to be learning what boundaries are now, is that a lot of people have the wrong idea of what boundaries are. People tend to misuse the word boundaries a lot, especially online. One thing I did want to make clear before we dive into this conversation is that boundaries are not about controlling other people. They're about what you will and won't accept, what behaviors you will and won't accept, and how you will and won't accept being treated. But they're not about controlling the actions of others.
Right.
Because a lot of people will think that telling their significant other how to behave is a boundary when that's really just control. It's one thing to say, I don't want to be with someone who does that. And it's a whole another thing to say, my boundaries are that I don't want you doing that. Because that doesn't make any sense at all. So,
yeah. Or it can be phrased in a different way. It's like, I would not like it. I wouldn't like if you continue to, you know, have this behavior, because it could be problematic. It hurts my feelings or something like that. Where it's not phrased as in, oh, you must do this or I will leave you.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Because that's when you cross the line from healthy communication over into control. And there's nothing healthy about being controlling. Yep. So, I did want to go over some benefits of setting boundaries. Some of the benefits are that you have, you can have improved emotional health, improved relationships, clear expectations for others, decreased stress, improved self-care capabilities, respect from others, and self-respect. Setting boundaries promotes autonomy and wards off burnout. I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but I used to be someone who had very porous boundaries. Most of my life I was a people pleaser, so I had a hard time saying no to people. I didn't want people to not like me, so I was always bending over backwards to make people accept me. But what happens when you do that is that you tend to burn yourself out, because you're giving and giving and giving to people who you may or may not need to be giving so much to. And feeling like you're unable to say no, it's not only a recipe for resentment, but it's sending yourself the message that you're not important.
Right.
Like, and others, me, sending others the message too, sorry.
No worries. For me, it was like, I tended to have more porous, boundaries when I was in my active addiction, just because it was like, I didn't really know how to value myself as a person at times. So then I was like, I kind of let things slide when I shouldn't have. Like, you know, picking up strangers, giving them rides for whatever X reason, right? Or stretching myself out too thin, or doing things that I just shouldn't have done that went against, like, my core, just because of whatever reason, you know? And it made me unhappy some of the times, or most of the time it did. Because it was like I had, like I said, I felt like I had less value than I did. And it was like, it was just like, there were some sketchy times, you know, associated with me not having very good boundaries, because it's like, I didn't know who I was letting into my car. I didn't know who I was letting, like, around my circle. And, you know, some of the times these people weren't very good, you know, sometimes they would take advantage or just like try to burn me, and I would allow it because, you know, access to drugs or whatever. And it was like, that, like I said, it compromised my values as a person.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I mean, I have a very similar story, although I probably went even further with that. And I think maybe before we go further with talking about it, maybe we should talk about what it means to have porous or rigid or healthy boundaries. We've talked a lot about porous boundaries. Some of the examples I can think of for having porous boundaries are like oversharing information, having difficulty saying no, being over-involved in other people's business, accepting abuse and disrespect, fearing rejection so much that you feel like you have to say yes to everything that's asked of you. Whereas rigid is like the polar opposite. because you avoid intimacy in close relationships. You're unlikely to ask for help. You have few close relationships, very protective of personal information, and you kind of tend to reject people before they reject you. And I've been both of those things at different times in my life, although I think for most of my life I had porous boundaries. There was a period of time where I went completely the other way and decided I didn't need anyone, I didn't want to be hurt by anyone again. And then of course having healthy boundaries is right in the middle, you know, valuing your own opinions, not feeling like you have to compromise your values for others, accepting being told no, being willing to say no to protect your peace, and things like that. And that can be really hard to do, especially for women. It can be hard for us to learn to say no, because we're socialized to kind of be agreeable and helpful. I used to always feel guilty when I would say no, even when I knew it was the best thing.
Yeah, knowing when to say no is a good skill to have, because it really limits us to how much people will try to tread on you, because they will, you know, people will push boundaries and push for their outcome, you know, for what they want their outcome to be when it comes to you, you know, whether that be getting something from you, either being with you, or, you know, just overall getting information or anything from you. It's like there's a lot of give, a lot of take, and not a lot of give when it's unhealthy. And that's what kind of weeds out those unhealthy relationships and unhealthy reactions.
Yeah. Sorry, my brain just totally blanked. I'm still. For anyone who's not watching the video, I have a big gulp of iced coffee that I've almost finished, and my brain still isn't moving quickly. So, I'm probably going to be a little bit behind throughout this entire podcast, but I'm trying.
No worries.
So, you remember when I was telling you about the different types of boundaries, like the 7 categories?
7 categories, I believe so. There was intellectual, emotional, sexual, time boundaries, material boundaries, and physical boundaries. Was it that one?
No, I think that might be from your own research.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
So basically, I'll define some and I'll give some examples of them. We do have some of the same ones on our list. Like there's mental boundaries, which is the freedom to have your own thoughts, values, and opinions. So basically an example of that would be, I don't agree with you, but I respect the fact that you feel that, or basically agreeing to disagree. Emotional boundaries, how emotionally available you are to others. Example would be, as much as I want to support you right now, I don't have the emotional capacity.
Yeah.
Material boundaries, monetary decisions, giving or lending to others. So I already lent you money last week, so not again right now.
Yeah.
That was one of the first types of boundaries that I was able to enforce. But I mean, I imagine that'd be pretty easy for a lot of people.
But I had a story. I had a story.
Oh, go ahead.
So my mom, my sister was short on her rent, right? Mm-hmm. And she didn't believe me when I said I had her. Like, I got you. Don't worry about it. And I said, you know, this is a loan though, so please pay me back, you know. And she didn't pay me back, and it was kind of like demoralizing, because I was like, why would you do that? Like, you know, but I got over it quick because that's my sister. And over the years, it's like, I've done messed up stuff too. So it's like that forgiveness, that, you know, that forgiving nature. And it came from a place of like understanding that I haven't always been the best person. So it was like, that's why it was like easy for me to kind of like forgive her. But at the same time, I put up that boundary. It's like, probably not anytime soon. Will I be loaning her money? You know?
Yeah. And that's a reasonable, that's a very reasonable boundary. If someone doesn't pay you back or doesn't pay you back on time, it's pretty reasonable to go, yeah, you know, I don't think I'll be doing that again anytime soon. And then just really quickly, I'm just going to go through the last three or four categories. Internal, which is like self-regulation, energy expended on self versus others. Conversational, which is like topics that you do or do not want to or feel comfortable discussing. Physical boundaries, like privacy, personal space, or your body. And time, how much time you spend with someone or doing something. And a lot of these things we don't really think about as boundaries. But I mean, there's, and we may not even use the same categories of boundaries in different aspects of our lives, because one thing that is important to remember is that boundaries they're personal to the individual. They're situational. So you may have different boundaries at home versus at work versus at school. And they also can vary by culture. So something that's common in one culture may not be common in another.
Yeah.
So I definitely have different boundaries at work than I do at home. I'm very much an open book at home, but when I'm at work, like I'm not one of those people who makes friends with my coworkers or any of that stuff. Like, we can be cool, but I'm not hanging out with you after work. I did that a lot when I was younger.
That gets trouble going, and then it's like rumors start to fly, and then it's like all relationships can be like, I don't know. That's why I never did after work gatherings, either at bars or stuff like that, because then it's like, oh no, it's a recipe for disaster, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And this is another one, and I can't believe I never thought about this before. This literally just popped into my head just now. This has been a hard boundary I've had since like 2008, and I just never thought of it in this way. I don't become friends with my neighbors. Mm-hmm. Ever. I'll be nice, I'll be friendly, but I will not be friends with the neighbor, because if things go south in any type of way, you still have to live next to this person. So yeah. It's kind of like, you know what, you have your house, I have my house, we'll wave when we pass by each other, but I'm not going to be friends with the neighbor. I did that one time before and it was a whole lot of drama.
Yeah.
now I can just see the wheels turning in your head that you're going to ask me about this afterward.
I am.
This is another one, and I can't believe I never thought about this before. This literally just popped into my head just now. This has been a hard boundary I've had since like 2008, and I just never thought of it in this way. I don't become friends with my neighbors. Mm-hmm. Ever. I'll be nice, I'll be friendly, but I will not be friends with the neighbor, because if things go south in any type of way, you still have to live next to this person. So yeah. It's kind of like, you know what, you have your house, I have my house, we'll wave when we pass by each other, but I'm not going to be friends with the neighbor. I did that one time before and it was a whole lot of drama.
Yeah.
I can just see the wheels turning in your head that you're going to ask me about this afterward.
I am.
Hey guys, it's Ruby. Usually, this is where we would put an ad, but we don't have any sponsors at the moment. So, if you're interested in having us read an ad for your business, send me an email to ruby@awkwardrube.com. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Emotional for me, right? Like, I talked about it a little bit before, but like for me, it's like I've been guilty of this in the past, like of not really gauging someone's boundary emotionally, and I've kind of overshared, and it goes along with the poorest. And then I've also done the opposite, where it's like I've completely shut down and became rigid and kind of like emotionally unavailable, which caused problems in relationships. And I was like distant and cold, and it didn't end up well, you know, until like I've learned that like it's okay to do so, but like finding a middle ground. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. And then as far as time goes, like, you know, time boundaries, it's like if I'm spending an awful lot of time with somebody, right, and it's like interfering with my other activities, I might want to tell that person like, hey, I think, you know, we might need a little bit of time set aside and have like a schedule, because I still need other things done. It's not that I don't want to hang out with you, it's just I can't be spending too much time and neglecting my other activities.
Totally understandable, yeah. And that worked, because I've tried doing that in the past, and people tend to get really upset.
Yes, they do. They're like, oh, you don't want to hang out with me, and take it personally? And it's like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, no, it's not that. It's just, you know, I have to go about my day as well. I have responsibilities.
Exactly. There's 24 hours in a day, and you have X amount of things to get done. And it's especially difficult when you're neurodivergent, which is another thing I was wondering. I wonder if it's common for people who are neurodivergent to have more porous boundaries, because I've found that a lot of things that I look back on now as oversharing, I didn't really think of that way when I was younger. I think I thought that I was trying to connect with people, and I didn't really understand the best way how.
I think that yes, like, because I have like definitely some, I have some learning disabilities, as well as like I'm pretty sure I'm diagnosed ADD, because it's hard for me to focus like when in class. And I would just kind of ramble on and overshare and kind of like just really do too much. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's hard. It's hard to find like that middle ground where it's like I'm a lot better at it now, but in the past it's been a problem area in my life.
Yeah, I think it's still a problem area for me, because a lot of the time people don't realize that if they're coming to me to ask me like for advice or something, the best way that I personally know how to relate to someone is by telling a similar story about my life and using that to connect with what they're going through. But neurotypical people tend to not really get that. So they're like, where did that come from?
I hear you. It's like they don't get it.
Not at all.
Well, for me, boundaries are important because they help me live a healthy life. And then it's like help me relate well with others and help me understand more about myself. And it's an ongoing process. Things won't always be the same, and boundaries can change, boundaries can shift. And they're different for everybody.
Absolutely. Learning how to set and enforce healthy boundaries was a huge part of my recovery journey, both for mental health and for hard drug addiction. I wouldn't have been able to stay off of hard drugs and to stay down as far as my mental health journey if I hadn't reclaimed some of my peace and some of my time and been able to set boundaries as far as what I was comfortable with, because for so much of my life I did things that that I really didn't want to, just because I wanted people to accept me. And once I got to a point where it became more about me accepting me and me liking me and me being there for me, and once I realized that that was what I needed first and foremost, and figured out the ways that I needed to go about that, even with the discomfort of people being upset about there suddenly being boundaries, even with the pushback, it still has made my life so much better.
That's awesome.
You gotta protect your peace.
You do. Keep your peace, y'all.
So that is going to be the end of our show about boundaries. But if you're not already following us on Instagram, the podcast page is Awkwardish Podcast. We're also on Threads under the same name at Awkwardish Podcast. And we will be back for the next episode in a couple weeks.
All right. See y'all later.